You've never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind. This is the Taxi Dave Show.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
Everybody's dancing down the local armory with a basement full of dynamite and live artillery. Never treat me sides and never place is getting high. Come the rock and truck with me now. Old ladies on the fire. Hey, it's Saturday night. Yeah. One more Saturday night. Hey, Saturday night.
Woo! It's Sunday night. And this is the place to be, the Taxi Dave Show.
The number one talker in New York City.
That's right.
Yeah.
We are broadcasting live from the Twilight Zone. We're here at the iHeartRadio studios. We were going to broadcast from NOLA and then from Lafayette, but we decided, and then we were going to broadcast from Disneyland. Or Disney World, but we decided we're just going to broadcast from Tribeca, New York. Okay, the iHeart Media World Studios, iHeart Radio World Studios.
Nice.
They have three floors down here in the old TNT building.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Dave Pollack. I'm Taxi Dave. We're here with County Clare.
Hello, darling.
Brother Ben.
Good evening, everybody.
And Carolyn Protz.
Medallion owner and proud of it.
That's right.
Way to go, you girl, you.
We're going to spend an hour together. Carolyn is great. She'll be hopefully a regular with us from now on. John McDonough, it's Christmas Eve, so to everybody, Merry Christmas.
And those for you who are aboard a train.
I want to say hello to all our new Pakistani listeners, to all our disabled listeners, to all our listeners who are in hospitals. To all our normal listeners, our abnormal listeners.
Now you're talking.
And of course, to all the drivers out there.
Yeah.
You know, especially taxi drivers. It's Christmas Eve, and out on the street, we drove here today, made record time. There's no traffic. Everybody is probably having dinner with their families if you celebrate Christmas, or even if you don't. It's a three-day weekend, and all the cabs out there were busy. I didn't see any vacant taxis out there, but they are out there working when others are with their family.
Aww.
Taxi drivers are working, okay? It's a thankless job, so it's the holiday season.
Hear, hear.
So have some rachmanis, have some feeling, and give some big tips this holiday season.
Exactly.
So anyway, I was trying to get into the Midtown Tunnel this week.
Why don't you tell us about that, Dave?
I think I'll tell you about it. As everybody knows, as you're coming west on 34th Street, you can make a left into the Midtown Tunnel. Except there was a traffic officer there that said, no, you can't make a left. Go down to First Avenue. So I went to First Avenue. Then you have to wait for a light, and you make a left turn. Because you can get on to into the Queens Midtown Tunnel from 35th Street. But no, there's a traffic agent there who says, no, go up to 37th Street. Okay. I go up to 37th Street and make a left. What a disaster that one block is from 37th Street from 1st Avenue to 2nd Avenue. Without exaggerating, six light sequences to get to 2nd Avenue. And the only reason I was able to make a left on 2nd Avenue is because I made it from the far right lane. I made a very wide left turn.
I'll say.
And then I said, you know what? I can't get in these two lanes turning into 36th Street. So I went wide around them and made a left. And it was the traffic was ridiculous. It was unbelievable. And I told the traffic agent, I said, you know, six light sequences to go one block and, you know, all this traffic. I got to get into Queens. He says, you want a faster way? Take the 59th Street Bridge. So I went back to 1st Avenue, and I'm not kidding you folks. In 5 minutes, I was over the 59th Street Bridge. I didn't have to pay a toll, okay? even though a river crossing with a toll may take you closer to your destination, all right, a toll-less river crossing, in my case, on Wednesday, was the fastest way to go. Okay, it's reverse congestion pricing because this little episode proves that more people were trying to pay a toll than take the free bridge.
Why?
Now, congestion pricing is based on the fact that, oh, people bridge shop. They want to take the cheapest way to get into and out of Manhattan. So they're going to take the 59th Street Bridge. You know what? Wrong. They want to get to Queens. They're going to take the 59th Street Bridge. I was in traffic. I wanted to pay that toll and go through the Midtown tunnel.
If you must.
And I couldn't. So, no toll, 59th Street Bridge, zero vision traffic. While the river crossing with the toll was in total gridlock. Figure that one out, folks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, next week when Bruce Schaller calls into the show, I have to ask him his opinion about my unscientific study that happened on Wednesday. I mean, here everybody is saying, yes, congestion pricing, everybody should pay a toll, and it'll be fairer for everybody, and people, there'll be less traffic at the 59th Street Bridge. There was no traffic there. All the traffic was at the toll tunnel, the Midtown tunnel. Our phone number here is 800-321-0710. We are going to be with you on this Christmas Eve. For an hour. And our email address is taxihale@AOL.com. And I don't mind reading your emails live. This is a live show, so the lines are open. And contact me. Yeah, here's an email. Yay, Taxi Dave is back. That's right.
Woo-hoo!
We are back. And we have commitments. Before I get into anything, I just have to tell you, you know, we had some rain and some bad weather the last few days. So on Saturday morning, a friend of mine was telling me this story. He got up early, he put on his long johns, he dressed quietly, made lunch, grabbed the dog, and slipped into the garage, hooked up the boat to his truck. He wanted to go fishing. And he proceeded to back out into this torrential downpour. There was snow, there was rain, there was sleet. The wind was blowing at like 35, 40 miles an hour. So he pulled back into the garage. He turned on the radio and he found out the weather would be bad throughout the rest of the day. So he went into the house and very quietly he undressed and slipped back into bed. And there he cuddled up with his wife and whispering, he said to her, "The weather out there is terrible." And she replied, "Can you believe my stupid husband is out fishing in this crap?"
Zigaboom.
So hopefully, you know, hopefully we can bring a smile to your face.
In the family spirit.
Yes. Yeah. He didn't have a Merry Christmas. 800-321-0710. And Carolyn, you just wanted a. You were visiting a friend, you said, at Stuyvesant Town, and you noticed something interesting about three or four cars?
Oh, yeah. There was a little bit of confusion on East 14th Street the other night. I was standing on the corner. I had gone to visit a friend. I was at 14th and B, and there were three FHVs heading westbound on 14th Street, and they made a right turn onto Avenue B, which is the wrong way on a one-way street. And they proceeded, and then I think they realized they were going the wrong way on this one-way street because they saw oncoming headlights of a fourth for-hire vehicle. And then they slowly, delicately proceeded to do K-turns, which is very difficult because there's not a lot of room in the Stuyvesant Town loops, but they managed. There's a lot of confusion out there because there's a lot of construction
going
on.
Well, they were all just going one way.
Right.
The majority.
75% were going northbound, and one guy was going southbound.
I was once in traffic court,
uh-oh,
and the judge called up this young man for going down a one-way street the wrong way. And the judge actually said, "Don't tell me you were only going one way." So he must hear that a lot. Anyway, let's take a couple of calls. Jerry, you're first up on the Taxi Dave Show.
Oh, man, thanks. Try to, you know, earn the Yankee first or Met first chatter. I met you, oh gosh, a few years ago, one of those parties. Steve, all the owners, all you guys, everybody, shout out to the brothers, sisters driving. You guys, everything cab, owners, you name it. Merry Christmas. You know, all the proclamations, salutations. But I wanted to ask you, Dave, did Donnybrook, or whatever the heck it was in 36 and 35, man, I was riding with you, and I'm feeling it.
I had my Waze GPS system on, and that was telling me take 34th Street into the Midtown Tunnel. I mean, I was doing everything right. There was light traffic on 34th. If the guy only let me make that left turn on 34th Street, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So, you know, whatever it was, you know, a few lights on 1st Avenue, one or two lights, and then six lights on 37th Street to go one block. And if I was in the left lane, it probably would have been a couple of more light sequences. Just totally ridiculous. So 10th and Lens doesn't give you information about one block or two blocks. You know, they give you the big picture. You know, they'll say, and they'll find out a half an hour if something is wrong, like there's a bus stuck in the Midtown Tunnel. You won't find out until you're finished with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was nice of you.
I don't know. I feel it in the gut. I'll go to the 59th, or I'll see it during the day or something. And, I'll look from afar on the FDR. Let's see how the bridge is doing. Let me see. You know, you get a gut. But I don't trust GPS. I'm more about, that gut thing. Let me see how the bridge is doing.
I know. I trust ESPN. Did you hear about the Bruce Schaller study by any chance that was in the newspaper this week, Jerry?
No.
No? Well, I want to thank you for calling, but Carolyn, you were telling me about it, and you know, I briefed through it, and there were some interesting things that came out in the Bruce Schaller report, and that's one of the reasons I said next week, hopefully we'll have Bruce Schaller on for a few minutes to briefly talk about his report. So what did it say? Give me some of the highlights, Carolyn.
First, I'd like to thank Bruce for doing all this work. I mean, this report and another one that he did in February of 2017 are gold mines of facts and figures. So thank you, Bruce, for doing all this work, because I wouldn't want to have to do it. And we'll have to ask him how long this actually took to do, because I'm sure it was quite a lot of work. I read through it a couple of times. I still haven't digested all of it, but I would think that as a regulator or an elected or a policy person reading this, you would sit up immediately, take notice, and say, we have to do something about this.
What did he say about the traffic, the number of actual vehicles in the Central Business District?
During daytime hours, 50% of the vehicles in the Central Business District are for hire vehicles.
Half of all the vehicles are for hire vehicles.
So this is something that I think any yellow, green, black, luxury, or livery driver would tell you, because they know. So he's confirming what these guys out there already know. Traffic is horrendous, and it's because of the FHVs, is basically what he's saying.
And what's weird about that is I was surprised, because people have been saying that there are less vehicles in the Central Business District than ever before.
Right. There's been a steady decline in the number of vehicles entering the Central Business District.
So less vehicles entering, but half of the vehicles are for hire vehicles.
Yes.
I wonder what it was years ago.
I mean, you could pick out any of these numbers and just be absolutely shocked by them. From 4 to 6 p.m., the number of for hire vehicles increased by 100%. The number of unoccupied for-hire vehicles is up by 300%. There's been a 23% drop in speed in the Central Business District since 2010. I think anybody who's driving, you know, knew this. You don't need to do a study. So I guess the question is, what are they going to do about this?
Well, like I said, let's try to reach out to Bruce Schaller and have him on the show next week. Next week is New Year's Eve, but we're going to be here, folks. So if you're listening to the radio and you're finished with your holiday dinner, or you're driving and you have the Met station on, the Mets are not going to be on tonight.
Mm-hmm. Shocking.
We're on. So let's take a couple of more calls. Gabe, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Claire. Hey, Brother Ben. Hey, Carolyn.
Hi.
Hey, Gabe.
Hey,
you got what's it right. up?
How you doing?
I'm good. You know, I'm calling in a week early. I also want to discuss this Bruce Schaller report. You know, The guy is a really well-respected technocrat. I just don't understand how he full-on equates taxis with these, he calls them TNCs, you know, as if we're the same thing, but we're not. Taxi medallion owners paid like $1 million to be able to cruise for passengers in the Central Business District, whereas these TNCs, technically speaking, are supposed to be quote-unquote dispatched from a base and not cruising for fares at all. And it's just funny to me how he doesn't address that at all in his report.
Well, he did. He did. He actually stated that the number of unoccupied FHVs is up 81%.
Right.
I just figured I'd throw that in there, Gabe.
I appreciate it. But I mean, that, you know, it also conflicts with the whole TNC business model. For many people, driving a Uber is just a side hustle. It's not a full-time thing. I think, you know, taxis are also considered a form of public transportation. I don't know if you're aware of that. Even though it's quasi-public, that's why we pay 50 cents to the MTA. But, you know, apparently there's going to be a convergence in the future of the FHVs and taxis. Bruce said that at the wheelchair hearing at the TLC. And it just concerns me. I just wonder when this dumpster fire mayor and puppet TLC commissioner is gonna get on board and recognize that some medallion owners paid a lot of money. Anyways, that's my piece.
Carolyn?
Yeah, I would say I would quibble with Bruce over he conflated yellow cabs and black cars and livery cars. He put them all together. And, of course, we're not responsible for the congestion in the CBD because our trips are down, our numbers of vehicles are down, our number of drivers are down, our number of hours on the road are down, our fares are down. No matter how you measure it, our numbers are down. Therefore, we cannot be causing the congestion in the Central Business District. So that's the fault of the FHVs. So he doesn't really spell that out, and I think he should have. But the other thing to say is that the app TNC segment only works because of the large numbers of cars on the road. The reason why you can get an Uber in 2 or 3 minutes is because there's 110,000 cars out there. Without all those extra cars, the business model doesn't work. And with those extra cars, you're going to have all of these terrible consequences of pollution and crashes and congestion.
Give us an example of the crashes.
Well, Dave, in July of 2014, black cars had 534 crashes. Whoa. By August of 17, they had 2,644 crashes, which is a 500% increase in crashes. So you can imagine what that does to traffic, Yellow cabs, actually, our crashes are down. They're down over that period by 23%, most probably because we're doing less trips than we were in 2014.
And their accidents may be up because they're doing more trips than 2014.
I don't think they're doing 500% more trips. They just have more crashes, like four times as many crashes as yellow cabs. Insurance industry, take note.
That's funny. Now, speaking of the insurance industry, Taxi Dave was able to get a couple of sponsorships, one from Hereford Insurance Company.
Yay.
And one from Lacus Technologies, Inc.
Nice.
Hereford Insurance Company is a workers' comp and liability insurance carrier, one of the few in New York City. There's one real big one. And I have to tell you, everything is done the right way. There's no getting around. There's no cutting angles. There's no cutting costs. They do what they're supposed to do in order to help drivers who are insured with them.
Mm-hmm.
And Lacus Technologies, I'll say it again, the owner of Lacus has heard everything that drivers had to say, and he's decided to revamp his entire app. Okay, your feedback and your reviews, actually, were taken very seriously, and you are responsible for the rebuilding of Lacus. Now, remember, this app was built for drivers, not passengers, folks. You're a passenger, you can call Curb, or you can call Arrow, okay? And you can get a yellow cab with either Arrow or Curb. But the end game for Lacus is a totally automatic dispatch system. That's right. Drivers will not be dealing with dispatches. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine that? Not dealing with dispatches? So you'll know which cars are in your area when you want to start working. Let's say where you live, when you wake up in the morning, for example. Drivers, you will save time, which means you're going to save money and you're going to save gas. Drivers will spend more time working instead of commuting to your garage. And in preparation for the future, Lacus Technologies needs drivers to sign up now. So download the Lacus app on Apple or Google and get ready for the future today. Lacus is the future today. Like I said, they're revamping the app. Sign up now. And when things kick in with multiple new medallions, it's a whole new world for the drivers. So I want to thank Lacus once again and thank you for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Bob, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, guys.
You
Merry
too.
Christmas to you, too.
You too.
And very glad to know you're running on. Okay. There's an interesting comment they had in the paper. They're talking about the bus speeds.
The what?
The bus speeds.
They are now down like 3 and 4 miles an hour going through CBD.
That's right. Scott Stringer, the controller of the city of New York, put out a study which not only gave the speeds but also compared them to other cities. And New York City has the slowest buses in the entire United States.
And so, by the way, that's less than the whole horse car speeds or cable car speeds back in the early 1900s.
That's interesting. What was the speed?
9 miles an hour on the cable and about 6 or 7 miles an hour on the horse cars.
Mm. Oh, my God. That's go back to cable.
Go back to the horses?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. The thing was, of course, that, you know, the congestion problem you guys have been talking about is the problem is everything is getting screwed up. Because the more congestion you got, the less speed you can make or anything else. That thing with the tunnel you were talking about, same thing. You're trying to squeeze a gallon bottle into a quart. It doesn't work. It still doesn't work. The idea is, and I keep saying this, public transportation has to have priority. And they don't do it. I mean, it's simple. But, as politicians. If I sound like I'm a little bit sarcastic, I apologize.
No, you don't sound like you're old and sarcastic. Just old.
That's okay. We like old.
I don't know anybody else that knows the cable and horse speeds.
That's very interesting. I really learned something.
When you went out of your house, did your mom say, watch out for the horse carts?
No, but no, she said, watch out for the horse poop. When my mom was a youngster, they had Model Ts running around, and they had the streetcars up in Yonkers.
You know, it's really amazing how the whole country was. This was a country of streetcars.
Yeah.
Even in rural areas.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, I think, after World War II, when the automobile manufacturers
really
in cahoots with the gasoline companies decided that they were going to build roads and sell cars, and very slowly they put all those small cable car companies out of business, so people would have to rely on cars.
And the thing is, that has been to the detriment long term, and there's no, end quote, balanced transportation system in this country. It hasn't been for years. And they talk about it, but they don't do anything about it.
That's, I think I read that at one point many years ago, you could take a cable car to the end of a line and then take the next cable car in the next city, and you could keep going and you could get, I don't know, maybe all the way to Chicago, something like that.
To Boston. You can go from New York with a few places in between Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it took about 30 hours to do it, but that's beside the point.
Oh, my God.
Well, they had nothing else to do back then.
but the thing was, we had a capable system, which if they had left it alone and let it develop, we would have had look at Europe. Everything connects.
Right.
Nothing connects here.
Right, and we had all the spur railroads, too.
Yeah.
You could get to the smaller towns from
when the U.S. Post Office started deleting the mail from the rails, this is back in the thing in 1930s all the way on, we lost that whole thing. The mail used to be able to come in twice a day, and the mail was that much faster compared to now. Everything goes to central post offices. It gets clogged up, doesn't get delivered. Now, that was then. I don't remember when I was growing up, we used to have two mail rooms coming to Locust Valley every day. On the train.
That's not a very appealing name for a town, Locust Valley.
Well, it's been around for a while.
Okay. Listen, Bob, thanks for being a listener to the Taxi Dave Show and a caller. We really appreciate it. We wish you and your family
happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much, guys and girls. By the way, I hope you got my card.
No, actually, I didn't. Did you send it to the station?
No, I sent it to your home.
Oh, didn't get it yet, but we'll be looking for it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Also want to shout out to all our listeners in the armed forces. Apparently, iHeartRadio has far reaches throughout the world. And some people listen to the Taxi Dave Show in the armed forces. So Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Here's an email from Salamina. Merry Christmas, Dave, and to all the crew there. Merry Christmas to you. Okay, and this is from Salim. Thanks for just wanted to add happy holidays to everybody. Looking forward to you all rocking in 2018. Same to you. Here's an email. This is interesting. This is for the chairwoman. Maybe we'll have her on in a couple of weeks also. Hello, Taxi Dave. A lot of medallion owners would like to know why the new rate cards don't have seating number on them. Usually when a large group wants to jump in one taxi, the owner or driver could refer to the seating number on the rate card to avoid the passenger making a complaint against them for refusing the fare. Do you have any idea why the TLC has left this off the new rate cards? So, for those of you who don't know, every rate card always said a capacity of passengers 4, if I'm not mistaken. And in that way, if 5 people wanted to get into a car, or more than 4, or whatever the capacity was, the driver could say, I'm not allowed to, because the rate card, and that's what the rules say. So that was left off. I don't know why it was left off. Maybe to help compete with others out there that who have larger cars. You know, this taxi of tomorrow, I got to tell you, and I'm a big guy, folks. And I get into the back seat of that, of a taxi of tomorrow. And whoever would be sitting next to me, let's just say we'd become intimate friends very closely. Very, in a very short amount of time. Okay. Hey, Carolyn, you want to go in a taxi of tomorrow with me? And
I have a hard time paying because I usually pay cash and I can hardly get my hand into the little opening to deposit the dollar bills. Hmm.
Yeah, you know, I think that was designed just so bills could slide through and up and to avoid the possibility of a gun handle, a gun nose being put into it and pointed at the driver. I think that's why it's intentionally difficult. Our phone number here is 800-321-0710, and our email address is taxihale@AOL.com. So as far as I'll ask the chairwoman of the Taxi and Limousine Commission when she comes on the show, and we'll find out.
Oh, maybe we could also find out why they took the rates off the doors. That's a sore point with a lot of the owners.
I know why they took the rates off the doors.
Why did they?
That was under the Bloomberg administration. David Yaske was the chairman of the Taxi and Limousine Commission, and there was a hearing at City Hall. And at that hearing, one of the things that was brought up to the Taxi and Limousine Commission at that time was how come the rates were taken off the doors. And the chief of staff at that time, not under Matthew Dawes, no, but under David Yaske, had stated that it's aesthetically pleasing to the eye to have uniformity. And they have not gotten any complaints about the new T being on the door. And without a hearing, without asking anyone from the industry, without any notice, they just started replacing the rates with this T logo, this taxi logo. So I asked a question that remains unanswered till this day. I asked, how many complaints did you get when the rates were on the doors? And there was silence. My answer was met with silence. So it is a sore point. People in New York City deserve to know how much they're going to pay. Specifically, okay, if there's a surcharge of 50 cents after 4 o'clock or a surcharge, what other surcharge is there?
To the airport, the Kennedy Airport.
Oh, it's a flat rate to the airport, and you have the MTA surcharge and the 30 cents. People should know. Why isn't that on there? When you get into an Uber car, you don't know what the rate is. Well, maybe you do, but there's surcharging, right? And all this nonsense going on recently where drivers were being told, given a price without surcharging, and some passengers were given a price with surcharging, so the base was actually making more than the driver was. It was just, no, not kosher. I think that transparency, everyone talks about transparency, and here's transparency. We have set rates. Put them on the doors.
Right. Couldn't be simpler. One of the council members had a bill. I forget the number. It was Council Member Vaca to put the rates back on the doors. And I watched some of that hearing where they discussed this. And everybody was for it, putting the rates back on the doors, except for Ashwini Shabra, who worked with the TLC at the time, who now works for Uber, and some design person.
Really? It's funny you mention that name. Yeah. He's the guy that said they never got any complaints about the new aesthetically eye-pleasing T on the doors.
But then the bill never went anywhere. I don't know what happened to it. Maybe Melissa Mark Viverito knows what happened to the bill.
Oh, we can ask her after December 31st, right? Emil, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show. Hello. Going once.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Dave?
Yes, you're live. On the air in New York City and around the world.
I would like to say something about the taxi stand. We used to have like 4 taxi stands at World Trade Center before September 11. We have one at the building number 1 at the restaurant. We have one at Marriott Hotel. We have another one in Cherry Street. Today we don't have any taxi stand at Freedom Tower. And the tourists, like 100 people in the street in West Side Highway, running behind a cab. I think we need taxi stand very, very soon for at least 1 taxi stand for Freedom Tower at West Side. Nah?
You know, Emil, you're absolutely right. And let me tell you what I've seen with my own eyes. I have seen cars on the West Side Highway stop to pick up fares that are not yellow cabs, and on the next block are police officers, and they do nothing. Yet, when a yellow cab stopped, and I saw this, to pick up people who got out of the Freedom Tower and wanted a cab to go north on the West Side Highway, they got into the cab. When the cab driver reached the next corner, the police officer pulled him over to give him a ticket. He's not allowed to stop there. But tickets were only being given out to the yellow taxi drivers. Okay.
I'm sorry, it's happened many times, but I'm concerned about talking about the hundreds of the tourist people. They're running in the street. Looks like a rush hour. Looks like a lot of people in the street looking for a cab.
Why don't we have taxi stands down in the World Trade Center area? Why not? You were right. They were up by Chamber Street. They were down at World Trade 1. They were in front of the World Trade Center, on the sides of the buildings, on Vesey Street. You're absolutely right. We need more taxi stands, and they keep disappearing. Okay, they just keep disappearing for a number of reasons. Some of them have been replaced with bike stands for city bike. You know, oh, that's very important. I understand that, especially in the cold winter and rain and snow. I mean, everyone uses city bikes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's right, Claire takes it every day.
Oh,
yeah. and the tourists, when you come out of Freedom Tower, you just want transportation. They don't want to take the subway. Subway ridership is down. They just don't want to take the subway. They want a cab. And there's no taxi stands. That really does need to be changed. Oh, there's one on the other side of the highway in Battery Park City. Okay, but you need one where the tourists go.
Mm-hmm.
It's now the number one tourist attraction and has been. Used to be the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty. Those are 2 and 3. The World Trade Memorial site is the number one tourist attraction now. And why there's no taxi stand, shame, okay, on this city.
Shame two times.
You know, I'd love to have the Department of Transportation come on the show. We have a lot to talk about in a nice way. I never ambush anybody. I never surprise anybody. But we can really have an educational discussion both ways. Maybe they don't understand our part of the industry. You know, they're involved in so many things. I mean, for example, the L train we were talking about, when that stops running next year for 15 months, taxis seem to be a burden. They're really not concerned with taxis. And we could really be a big help. Should we do ride sharing there and put four passengers in
yes,
a yellow cab
absolutely.
And take them in an HOV lane over one of the bridges? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? But we're not in the equation. They'll take 70 buses an hour over the Williamsburg Bridge. That I can't wait to see. I mean, it's, you know, on a wink and a nod, oh, yeah, everything's going to be great. It's going to be a disaster, let alone the fact that they are not electric buses and the pollution is going to be worse than ever.
Well, that was interesting. At the end of the hearing at the city council about the L train shutdown, there were people from the Sierra Club who were on one of the panels, and one of them said that 2 million New Yorkers suffer from asthma. That's incredible.
Yeah,
there's only 8.5 million people living here.
Wow.
Right? So think about, you know, what all this additional traffic is going to do to those people, and a lot of them are kids. And the council members were very, very concerned about adding 200 additional buses to transport passengers while the L train is out of action. But what about the additional 70,000 cars for hire on the road? Shouldn't that be a concern to those council members also?
It's only 70,000.
Oh, we're dropping the bucket.
That's right. It's you know, it's an argument of convenience at times.
Yeah.
That means that there are 70,000 people working, and they probably don't want to put them out of work. And do they count more than the 13,000?
Yellow.
You know, out of those 13,000 yellow cabs, you know, at least 6,000 are small business owners who own one medallion, one cab. What about those people who trusted the city to be in a partnership with them? Okay. Here's an email. Black cars like Uber say they're prearranged because the passengers know the price up front before they ride. If taxis had rates on the doors, that argument gets muddled. Ashwini works for Uber now. Do the math. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. This is from Upcar. Hello, Taxi Dave. Good to hear your voice again. Are you aware of the signs which have gone up at JFK and LaGuardia airports regarding taxi waiting times? These electronic signs are supposedly letting passengers know how long it will take to get a cab. In my humble opinion, all these signs are doing discouraging passengers from waiting in line and calling app companies instead. Instead, the Port Authority should be concentrating on advertising the flat rate of yellow taxis, letting passengers know that it's the official and legal transportation in New York City in multiple languages at the baggage claim carousels. That's from Upcar Fant. Thank you so much, Upcar. And let's just take a call in between this. This is the Taxi Dave Show.
And the number one talker in New York City.
I'm Taxi Dave. It's Christmas Eve. We're here with Carolyn Protz, with County Clare, with Brother Ben. Hey, Brother Ben, did you have a discussion with President Trump lately or someone in his staff?
Yes.
And can you tell us what the discussion was about?
Nothing. I don't know about it. I don't want to talk about it.
There you go.
You can't talk about it.
Okay,
I can't
Christine.
Talk about it.
You'll
talk when they subpoena you.
That's right.
They won't try
us. No talking.
Christine, no you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. I just want to wish you and Claire and everyone there in the audience Merry Christmas, Happy and Healthy.
You're a doll.
Thank you. Men and women who drive a yellow and green taxi all over the world. Nancy, Solomon, you know who you are. And one thing, you know what? Brad and I played tourists not too long ago in the city, and we were in one of the little bookstores, and I see all the little books about yellow cabs, and I started looking through it. I'm like, you know what? It's like you have all these books about a yellow cab. You don't have anything about that other car service out there, but a yellow cab. I mean, come on. I mean, something's got to give here.
Yellow's a nice color.
You know what? Like you said, the yellow and green, the one individual, that's their business. That's how they raise their families and stuff. And it's ridiculous. Something's got to give. It really does. It breaks my heart.
Well, I'll say it again, folks. Carolyn was nice enough to tell us about a two-medallion auction last week that where they sold for $450,000. But there was an open auction, and a large bank wanted to sell them for $262,000, and bidders bid it up to $200,000. It had to be all cash up front. Not everybody has $200,000 to put up front. But without financing, it's great that people were willing to pay that. The bank said, no, we want $262,000. Another person in the industry told me he just bought six at $220,000. So I think we've reached the bottom. I think the taxi medallion has finally reached the bottom. And you know, Christine, if this is the bottom, there's only one way to go from here.
That's right.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I think...
I'll always speak up for them, so...
Yes, thank you so much for being such a great advocate for the yellow taxi industry.
It could be the ultimate value play. You know, you could pay it off in a couple of years. Think about it.
Now's a great time to buy, actually.
Right.
It really is a great time to buy.
When blood is in the streets, as Warren Buffett always says about investing, that's when you invest.
Is that what he says?
Mm-hmm.
I want to hang out with you, Carolyn.
I wouldn't bet against
Christine,
Buffett.
Did you have a nice Christmas Eve?
Brad came home, so I made a nice, I made lasagna, so he's resting now. And tomorrow, thankfully, he's off. So this is the first Christmas I won't be by myself, which I'm happy for.
Well, that's great.
We wish you and Brad a Merry Christmas.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling the Taxi Dave Show. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. Our email address is taxihale@aol.com. And this is from Florida. There's no doubt in my mind that the rates on the yellow taxi doors were a move to confuse the customers. By doing this, it would help Uber get started with the invasion of our rights. It would help the poachers who were stopping for street hails also. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
I think I know who that was.
All right. Thank you so much. This is from Tommy. Why even bother having taxi stands when Uber and FHVs are going to park there and take up your space? And when you talk and fight with them, they love to roll their eyes and cops don't do anything about it. It's bad enough they park at no standing zones where drivers can use it as an extra lane. Also, I'm tired of cabs being checked at airports, but no one is checking FHVs in the city or at the airport for potential threats. As a former DHS officer, I can tell you that that other vehicles are a serious threat. I want to thank you for that. I appreciate that. You know, we live in a crazy world, folks. What could I tell you? Anything can happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as Noah can play Feliz Navidad, when we come back from that 30 seconds to catch our breath here, there is a travel advisory from the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. We'll take some more of your calls at 800-321-0710. The lines are open. I'm Taxi Dave. And
the number one talker in New York City.
That's right. We're here with Carolyn, with Claire, and with Brother Ben. Stay tuned for more.
Just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
This is the Taxi Dave Show.
You don't upset me, Fred Sanford. I have the feeling of Christmas.
And the face of Halloween.
There is no Christmas.
Taxi Dave is back.
The number one talker in New York City.
We are broadcasting live from the Twilight Zone. The iHeart Radio Studios in Tribeca, New York. We're here with Claire and with Carolyn and with Ben. And I'm Taxi Dave. The Port Authority sent out a travel advisory that they are prepared to handle 20 million travelers during the holiday season. What's the holiday season? Between now and January 1st.
Really?
2.6 million passengers through JFK Airport, 1.9 million through Newark, 1.2 million through LaGuardia, and over 18,000 at Stewart Airport up in Newburgh. How do you like that?
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
And they're telling you about, you know, the link, the Q70 bus, and this and that. Listen, take a cab. It's faster. It's more direct.
That's right.
And you don't have to worry about surge pricing. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The Port Authority is expecting 3.3 million passenger trips on the PATH train during this time. And tomorrow, on January 1st, the PATH train will operate on a Saturday schedule, just to let you know. Then there will be additional service overnight from Journal Square to 33rd Street via Hoboken for New Year's Eve celebrations in New York City. Okay, that's from the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. I actually have to speak with them, too. So, we have two sponsors. We need another sponsor. So what I did was, there have been a lot of callers who said, you know, Dave, I'd help to donate something. You know, I can't afford a lot of money, but I'll donate something every month. Tell me what I have to donate. $25, $20, $10, anything. So there's a website that I opened a page on. It's called Patreon. So if you go to Patreon,
How do you spell that?
It's patreon.com.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N, okay.
Patreon.com/TaxiDave. I haven't looked at it yet, but hopefully there's a page there. And I'm really looking to raise $900 a week, which is $3,600 a month. $3,600 a month is what I'm looking to raise. So, I mean, it would be great if I get 36 people who want to donate $100 a month. There we go. If you do donate $100 a month, by the way, if each week I will have one of those people who donate that much money come on the show. If you donate that or more. Okay?
Now that's fun.
You can donate as little as a dollar a month. I don't care. Donate a dollar a month, $5, $10, $20, whatever you can afford to help the Taxi Dave Show. That's www.patreon, patreon.com/TaxiDave. See what it's all about. If you feel comfortable, I have the amount of money up there that's going to be generated every month. This isn't a game. Money will be used to go to WOR to help offset some of the expenses of the show. And if it reaches a point where I don't need the money or I don't need as much, I'll tell everybody. So I want to thank you. If you really do want to help, patreon.com/TaxiDave. Jimmy, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
How are you doing today?
Okay.
Two things. I'm actually famous amongst my friends for my loathing of Uber. Wondering why Bill de Blasio, who was against Uber when it first... Why is it that you can use a prepaid debit card in a yellow cab, but you can't use one in an Uber? My wife, in the beginning, was going with the Uber. She's a nurse. She works over at Bellevue. And I said, get in a yellow cab. You know who you're dealing with. They all have licenses. But, you know, she was like everybody else. Oh, Uber's better. It's cheaper. It's this. It's that. Well, she was using a debit card. She had five different fraudulent charges. So then I said, well, why don't you use like a prepaid card? So you only use a little bit. Well, you can't use a prepaid card. So in my opinion, Uber is telling people who may not have checking accounts that you're not good enough to use this. Why is that right? Why are they allowed to do that? And also, they stop and park everywhere. I work all over the city. When I go in the city in the morning, I get off the train at 6:15, and you can't get down a single side street without having to go around three or four Uber cars. I don't understand why do you guys get treated like crap, and the mayor allows them to do whatever they want.
Well, that's one of the points that Bruce Schaller brought up in his recent study. The number of black cars out there, FHVs, who are unoccupied, just driving around, contributing tremendously to congestion.
In the morning, my train is a little tough to get to work. I have a 7 o'clock start. And I used to be able to make it no problem. I got a professional driver, somebody who knows where he's going. He's not looking at his GPS. And now it's so hard to get anywhere because anytime you go down a side street, they're blocking the road.
Hey, you're not wrong. I see them. I see cars all over. They're blocking the road. If you're on an avenue, look around you. Look at the license plates of all the cars. I mean, 9 out of 10 are TC plates. It's crazy.
Yeah,
this is exactly what we needed to avoid.
2,000 more every month.
Wow.
Every other weekend, I drive in. My wife works at Bellevue. I did it this morning. I was on 2nd Avenue, and there were 9 cars around me. I was the only one who wasn't an Uber. You know, and what
are
they
doing? Maybe they're trying to tell you something, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, it'll be a cold day in hell I get one of those cars.
Good man.
Listen, a very, very long time ago, 35 years ago, when I was an apprentice, I drove a yellow car. I was a cab driver, so I'm very pro-yellow.
We may have driven together.
May have.
Where'd you drive out of?
44th Street.
Oh, style over there. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I grew up right across the street.
Wow. A real New Yorker. I love it.
Good man.
Yeah, one of the rarest things you'll ever find in the city.
Do you always listen to the Taxi Dave Show?
No, I tell you what, I just turned the radio on. I was cleaning the kitchen. I'm like, I had no idea you existed because, like I said, my friends think I'm insane because I hate Uber.
You listen to the show, I think you found the home, Jimmy.
Go, Jimmy.
So we want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Real quick, one more. Right at Penn Station, why is it you have that TIC Nazi out there every day? You know, people come up the 30th Street side. They don't know what's going on. And he attacks the tourists. He yells and screams at them. But like you guys were saying earlier, there they are, the black cars, blocking the street, running the light, you know, driving in the parking lane. I don't understand it.
There are a couple of famous police officers in the city. I mean, my retired cousin Bruce, who's listening probably. Merry Christmas, Bruce. I love cops. They help everybody. I was brought up to, if you're lost, if you have a problem, speak to a police officer. They've helped me. They're approachable. But there's a couple of cops who really have it in for yellow cabs. One of them is this guy around Penn Station. He really does. He waits across the street by the hotel. If part of your bumper is in the crosswalk, he'll come out right at your summons.
The guy on the other side on 8th Avenue is the same way. Like, I'm the wrong guy to yell at. I don't care if you got a badge. I don't really care what you're going to do. You're not going to disrespect me because it is a stand. You know, if I come out that door, how do I know that the stand is down the other end of the street? They assume that tourists know this. Now, I'm not a tourist. I was born and raised in Manhattan. But, you know, the car's there. He's empty. Why can't I get in it? I can get in any other car.
There's a lot of confusion down there. You know, I was going to give out newspapers the other night. I was there twice this week, actually. And it's so confusing now because everything used to be north of 32nd Street where you used to park to pick up. Now it's down the block, but there's always postal trucks parked there and other vehicles parked there. It is a cluster mess of ridiculous proportions. Okay, it's unfair. And if the city really wants to help, and I don't know who it is. I don't know if it should be, you know, DOT with NYPD. You need people there, not to give summonses, but to help make the traffic flow. So the passengers and the residents and the tourists who come in and out of Penn Station and Madison Square Garden could swiftly get to their cab, you know, get into a cab and get out.
Right.
Do you think cab drivers are there because they want to get a summons? You think they really want to be working on Christmas Eve like a lot of them are tonight by Penn Station and get a summons on Christmas Eve? It's not what it's all about. It's all about earning a living. All mm-hmm. they want to do is earn a living. And, you know, this one officer by Penn Station, and there used to be this other guy on Lexington Avenue, Corny was his name. At one point, I had 60. You know, when I had the first few that told me I did nothing wrong, he gave me three summonses. And the three summonses were for changing lane without signaling, failure to turn over documents, and reckless driving. All three summonses. And then the second one told me, the second call I got about this guy. By the time I was done, I had 48 people, all with the same three summonses, mm-hmm. all by the same officer, all around Lexington Avenue in the 40s, okay? And I took it upon myself to make the submission. We went to the internal, what do you call it?
Oh, internal Office of Investigations?
Yeah. We went there. The cop I was supposed to meet with wasn't there. So we all testified down there into a tape recorder, including me. And I was told it'll take a few months to get back to us. They have to have an investigation and a sting. 6 months later, they told me they handed it over to some sergeant at the 19th precinct. I went down to the 19th precinct, and I said, so, he said, so what's the problem? I said, well, all these summonses, I'm sure that Internal Affairs gave you the summonses. I didn't get copies of anything. I said, I thought you'd say that. Here's copies of everything. Oh, we're going to have to do a sting, and we're going to have to investigate. It'll take a few months. I said, fine. Avoiding me. 6 months goes by, so now it's a year in total. And finally, I said, what's going on? You know, this is ridiculous. He says he turned everything over to Midtown South. I said, Midtown South? Why would you give it to Midtown South? I called Midtown South. They turned it over back to the 17th precinct where the guy works. Nothing ever happened. I got the runaround, you know. So I'm all for protecting your coworkers and your peers. But when there's one bad apple, hey, there's bad apples in the taxi industry. There's bad apples in every industry, every company, every agency. And this guy, in my opinion, was a bad apple. Well, guess what? They got him out. They got him out of there. But he's still showing up in court and swearing that guys were illegally changing lanes. I had people crying to me, I'm not white. I think he looks at me like a terrorist. I mean, it breaks my heart to hear people came to this country for freedom, for rights, and to work. And they're working tonight on Christmas Eve. And speaking of Christmas Eve, we have 30 seconds left. So thank you, all your callers. Merry Christmas to everybody. This is the Taxi Dave Show.
The number one talker in New York City.
Claire, Carolyn, Bren, thanks a lot for being here tonight.
Happy holidays.
Happy
everyone.
Holidays.
Happy
Merry
New
Christmas.
Year.
And we'll be here New Year's
yep.
Eve next Sunday night.
Yep.
So if you're lonely, come on by for a drink. Okay? I got to go now.
Taxi!